This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wa ala. Great to see you again, dear brothers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve you, protect you. May He never deprive me from seeing these beautiful faces. Every week that passes by, being far away from yourselves is a suffering. And it's a cause of misery, and I really mean that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our happiness and our growth to be found in these places. I've always wondered what it was that made those people who come before us so superior in their ethic, so dedicated in their worship. How was it that their iman was so formidable, so consistently regular and strong? How was it that when they found their way to a sin, they quickly found their way back to repentance? How was it that they were so tough and resilient in the face of doubts and temptations? How was it that their attachment to dunya was so much lesser than some of us today? What was the secret that made them so different? And I tried to investigate an answer to this question, and I came across a profound statement by Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani, who said in praise of Amir al-Mu'mineen Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, مَا سَبَقَهُمْ أَبُو بَكْرٍ بِكَثْرَةِ صَلَاةٍ وَلَا صِيَامٍ وَلَكِنْ بِشَيْءٍ وَقَرَ فِي قَلْبِهِ. He said that it wasn't abundant prayer and fasting that caused Abu Bakr to be superior to all of those around him. It wasn't that. He said, it was something that settled in his heart. So what was it that settled in his heart? I'm still trying to understand what is this gem, this jewel that made him stand out, this secret. I investigated a little bit further, and I came across a second statement mentioned by Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak in praise of Imam Malik. Listen to what he said and compare it with what you just heard earlier. He said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا يَرْتَفَعَ كَمَالِكَ. I have never in my life seen someone who rose to fame like Imam Malik. لَيْسَ لَهُ كَثِيرُ صَلَاةٍ وَلَا صِيَامٍ. However, he didn't have that much extra prayer and fasting. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ سَرِيرًا. Perhaps he had a secret. So again, this topic of secret comes up a second time. What is this distinguishing reality, the secret that sat in their hearts? The answer is still not clear. I read a little bit further, and I came across a third statement mentioned by Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak in praise of a man called Ibrahim ibn Adham. What does he say about him? He said, لَهُ فَضْلٌ فِي نَفْسِهِ صَاحِبُ سَرَائِرٍ. He is a virtuous man and he has many secrets. So for the third time, the topic of sarair, secrets, is coming up again. So my eagerness rockets high, sky high, trying to understand what is this secret, what is this jewel that made them so distinct and separated them from us. And then finally, I crossed paths with a hadith that solved the riddle. The hadith which Al-Bayhaqi narrates in his Shu'ab al-Iman on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صَلَاحُ أَوَّلِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِالزُّهْدِ وَالْيَقِينِ وَيَهْلِكُ آخِرُهَا بِالْبُخْلِ وَالْأَمَلِ. He said, the righteousness of the first generation of Muslims was due to the fact that they had two qualities, zuhd, minimalism, renunciation of dunya, it didn't settle in their hearts, minimalism, zuhd, and yaqeen. How do we translate yaqeen? Certainty. The righteousness of the early generations was due to what? Their yaqeen. Their certainty in Allah and the promises of their Lord. And he said, and the latter generation of Muslims, they will be plundered into ruins because of what? Stinginess and false hopes. So yaqeen, This was from the many secrets that sat in the heart of Amir al-Mu'minin Abu Bakr and Imam Malik and Ibrahim ibn Adham, as we just heard. This was the secret above and beyond many other attributes, their yaqeen, their certainty in everything that has come from Allah and everything that they shall meet in the future when they die. Yaqeen. This is what we want to speak about on this evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. This is the yaqeen that was praised and spoken about by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who said, Al-yaqeenu min al-imani. These are the words actually of Imam ibn al-Qayyim. He said, Al-yaqeenu min al-imani bi-manzilati al-ruhi min al-jasad. Ilayhi shammar al-amilun. وتنافس المتنافسون وتفاضل العباد والعارفون. He said, yaqeen, the relationship of yaqeen to iman, faith, is just like the relationship of your soul to your body. And he said, this is what they pursued. This is what they competed over. And this is what they rolled up their sleeves in pursuit of. It was yaqeen. And Imam ibn al-Qayyim, he also said about yaqeen that it is huwa haqiqatu siddiqiyyah. Yaqeen, certainty, it is the reality of being a siddiq. Remember what Bakr ibn Abdullah said earlier, praising Abu Bakr. He said that his secret, he had a secret. And here Imam ibn al-Qayyim is saying that Abu Bakr became a siddiq, or the nature of siddiqiyyah, which is the highest station you can humanly attain after the station of prophethood, and above the station of martyrdom is the station of siddiqiyyah. He said the reality of being a siddiq is having yaqeen. So what is yaqeen? If we wanted to put our finger on it and try to define it, what is it? We've loosely translated it so far as being certainty. First of all, before we enter into a definition, dear brothers, dear sisters, we are to realize that knowledge is of levels. You have the first level of knowledge, you can say it's the bottom of the food chain. The weakest form of knowledge, the scholars, they call it al-wahm. Al-wahm, it means delusion. That's like when you're around, say, 25% sure of something. Then you go a little bit further up and you reach the stage called shak, doubt. That's when you're around 50% sure of something. You move a little bit further up and then you have the station called dhann. Dhann is when you're around 75% sure of something. Then you reach the very top of the pyramid. This is called yaqeen, certainty. And that is when you are what? 100% sure of something. So, just as an entry into this topic, realize knowledge is of levels, and we are speaking about what level of knowledge this evening? The very highest form of knowledge. Not every Muslim will attain to perfection during his or her life, but we strive to work towards it. When you are 100% sure of something. Now, having understood where yaqeen sits on the pyramid of knowledge, I share with you a definition of yaqeen from a technical perspective. What are we talking about here? Al-Junayd al-Baghdadi, he said, Al-yaqeenu huwa istiqraru al-ilmi alladhi la yanqalibu wa la yahulu wa la yataghayyaru fil qalb. He said, yaqeen, certainty, is the settling of knowledge. Did he say the acquisition of knowledge, the learning of knowledge, the writing? No. He said it is the settling of knowledge within the heart, such that it doesn't change, it doesn't alter, and it doesn't disappear. So a Muslim who has yaqeen in Allah and everything he has come with is a Muslim whose certainty has dispelled from his heart every shadow of doubt and every anxiety of confusion, and enlightening within it a certainty whereby you have no more hesitation in what you believe. It is the settling of knowledge. when it resides in your heart. You see, if I was to tell you now that Mahmoud has arrived from London, you will believe me, because I hope I am a credible authority or a source in your life. Then if somebody else comes and contradicts that statement, you may fall into doubt. If, however, say, five other people come and corroborate what I had said, your level in knowledge grows. If, however, tens upon tens of people come to you from different languages and different ages and different races to say the same thing that I had just told you and substantiate it through these multiple sources of transmission such that it is impossible that they have all collaborated and unified upon a lie, then you reach the highest stage of knowledge, and this is called yaqeen. That is certainty. So Al-Junayd, how did he define al-yaqeen? He said, it is the settling of knowledge in the heart, such that it doesn't change, it doesn't alter, and it doesn't disappear from your heart. There was a second definition given by one of the predecessors. He says, al-yaqeen huwa mushahadatu al-iman bil-ghayb. Yaqeen, certainty, is when you witness the unseen through your iman. It is when you witness al-ghayb, the world of the unseen, through which eye? Through your iman. That's yaqeen, certainty. So the same way that the eyes in your head that provide you sight enable you to see the happenings of the physical world, the eye that is in your heart, which is called yaqeen, your insight, allows you to see the metaphysical world. So you live your life in a station whereby the events of paradise and hell and the bridge and the day of judgment and the realities of the grave are unfolding before your very eyes, even as you buy and sell and wake up and sleep and trade and intermingle with family. You are seeing it, but with what eye? The eye of yaqeen, certainty. So it is the witnessing of the unseen through the eye of iman. This is yaqeen. Bearing this in mind, after introducing the topic to you and giving you the levels of knowledge and showing you that yaqeen sits at the very top of the levels of knowledge and giving you two definitions of yaqeen, I want to share with you also the levels of yaqeen. So just because yaqeen sits at the top, certainty, we can still say that yaqeen in of itself at the top has levels. Does anyone know of those levels, by the way? Ahsant. Yeah, did you hear that? The first of them is what? Ilm al-yaqeen. Yeah, the knowledge of certainty. And then you have the second, which is Ayn al-yaqeen, the eye of certainty. And then you have the third, which is Haqq al-yaqeen, the truth of certainty. All three are mentioned in the Quran, by the way. To demonstrate, if I say to you, I have in my hand beneath the table a cup of water, and you believe it, and I'm not going to lie, and maybe several other people tell you the same thing, khalas, you reach a state of what? Yaqeen, certainty. There is definitely a cup of water beneath the table. This is what stage? The first of them, the knowledge of certainty. Then if I was to show you the cup, you now reach the second level. This is Aynul Yaqeen, the eye of certainty. Then if you were to take the cup and you were to drink from it, you've now experienced the water with some of your senses. This is Haqqul Yaqeen, the truth of certainty. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu alludes to all three of those levels in the Quran. The first two in Surah At-Takathur, where Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, Kalla law ta'lamuna ilm al-yaqeen. Know if you were to know the knowledge of certainty. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. You shall see the hellfire. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ. Then you shall see it with the eye of certainty. So the knowledge and eye of certainty, they are both mentioned in Surah Al-Takathur. Then you are left with the third of those, which is the truth of certainty. That is mentioned in which surah? Surah 2? Al-Waqi'ah. Where Allah says, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ حَقُّ الْيَقِينِ. This is indeed the truth of certainty. Yes, these are the three levels. What is the difference between them? In terms of knowledge, in terms of certainty, they are the same. All three of those levels are the same in the sense that you are certain, there is no doubt. It's not like one is more certain than the other. You're just as certain by knowing something that is certain, or seeing something that is certain, or experiencing something that is certain. All of this constitutes as knowledge of certainty according to us as Muslims. And we can demonstrate this. I mean, how do you know of paradise and hell? You haven't seen it, and you certainly haven't experienced them. Yet you are absolutely certain of their existence. مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ. The same way you are certain that it is you who is speaking. But you haven't seen them. This is عِلْمُ الْيَقِينَ, the knowledge of certainty. It's come to you from an undeniable source, so you are certain. In fact, Amir ibn Abd Qais, one of the tabi'een, he said something really beautiful here. He said, لَوْ كُشِفَ لِيَ الْغِطَاءَ مَزْدَدْتُ يَقِينًا. If the veil between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to be removed, it wouldn't increase me in certainty. Ajeeb, huh? If the veil was to be removed and I was to see him subhanahu wa ta'ala, it wouldn't increase me in faith, it wouldn't increase me in certainty. In other words, the knowledge of yaqeen is so high that I don't need any other proof. And some of the predecessors, they said, رَأَيْتُ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارَ حَقِيقَةً. They said, I have seen paradise and hell firsthand. They said, how? He said, رَأَيْتُهُمَا بِعَيْنَي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I saw them both through the eyes of the Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And he saw them. And as another, he said that the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw paradise and hell with his eyes, that is a more of a reliable source than if I was to see them with my own eyes, because my eyes may play tricks on me, whereas his eyes may never deceive him. Subhanallah. So this is the knowledge of certainty. If the veil was to be removed, it wouldn't increase me in yaqeen. Allahu Akbar. Then you have the second, which is what? The eye of certainty. And this is how we understand, dear brothers, dear sisters, Prophet Ibrahim's request to see Allah giving life to the dead. What was the request of Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. My Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. Does Ibrahim not believe? Of course he believes. The knowledge of certainty is enough for him. Of course he believes. Allah said to him, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ, don't you believe? He said, Bala, of course I believe, my Lord. But what was Ibrahim alayhi salam actually requesting? Yeah, exactly. He was requesting a transfer from the knowledge of certainty to the eye of certainty. Yes? And then you have haqqul yaqeen, which is the truth of certainty, the experiencing of a matter. So we are now studying, for example, about paradise and hell, and we are absolutely certain of their existence. In fact, our whole life is defined by paradise and hell, our behavior. That's the knowledge of certainty. Then on the day of judgment, وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِلْغَاوِينَ. Paradise and hell will be exhibited, you will see them. This is now the eye of certainty. Then eventually people will be given entry into paradise or thrown into hell, and they will experience it with all of their senses. This will be the truth of certainty. We ask Allah Jalla Jalaluhu to give us the certainty of paradise, allow us to experience it. So this is a definition of yaqeen, and these are the levels of yaqeen. And now we are to share maybe the real important part of this short dars, and that is, what is awarded to the people of Yaqeen? What is given to them? What do the fruits of this beautiful tree look like when this tree blossoms? What can you expect in your dunya before your hereafter if you become a man, a woman of yaqeen, and it is within reach, as we shall find out at the very end? Number one, the people of yaqeen experience a light that dawns upon their heart. Almost a physical, tangible light that they experience. Yaqeen brings with it, subhanAllah al-Azim, a flare of light that dispels from the heart all of the shadows of doubt and hesitation and the anxieties that come with confusion. Doubt, shak, it's a heat that inflames the heart and causes it pain and movement and turbulence. Yaqeen, on the other end, is the greatest soothing agent that may feature in your heart, that allows it to rest and to rely upon Allah and be content with Allah and to be happy with the decrees of Allah and to be fearful of Allah and hopeful in Allah and to long and yearn for Allah Jalla Jalaluh and to be content with all of His decrees. The most inspirited people, they are the people of yaqeen with this light that has dawned upon their hearts. Even if you are experiencing the bleakest and darkest of circumstances. Allow me to demonstrate, dear brothers and sisters. Look at someone like Shaykhul Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala. Imam ibn al-Qayyim, he said during the peak of his trial, during the fort when he was imprisoned, experiencing physical torture, persecution, and threatened with execution and exilement, Shaykhul Islam, he would say to his students, within the cell, he said, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ بَذَلْتُ مِلْأَ هَذِهِ الْقَاعَةِ ذَهَبًا مَا عَدَلَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدِي شُكْرَ هَذِهِ النِّعْمَةِ. He said, by Allah, if I was to spend gold in sadaqa, charity, the size of the cell in thanks to Allah for this blessing that He has endowed me with, it wouldn't be enough to thank Him. And he would say from behind the confines of prison, he would say, I'm not the imprisoned one, don't you worry about that. He would say, Al-Mahbusu man hubisa qalbuhu an dhikri rabbih, wal-ma'suru man asarahu hawah. He would say that the real imprisoned one is the one who has been imprisoned by his desires. And the real captive is the one who has been captivated from the remembrance of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. That's the captive, not me. And when they threatened him that you're going to be exiled to Alexandria and we may follow it up with your execution, what did he say? See, the light that dawns upon the heart of the one who is certain in Allah Jalla Jalaluh, he would say, أنا إن قتلت كانت لي شهادة. He said, if you kill me, this is martyrdom for me. وإن نفوني كانت لي سياحة وفي رواية هجرة. If you exile me, that's me enjoying tourism in the land of Allah. وَلَوْ نَفَوْنِي إِلَىٰ قُبْرُسْ لَدَعَوْتُ أَهْلَهَا إِلَىٰ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَجَابُونِي. And if you had exiled me to Cyprus, I would invite their people to Islam and they would respond to my call. وَإِنْ حَبَسُونِي كَانَ لِي مَعْبَدًا. And if you keep me detained here in the prison, don't you worry, this will be my place of worship. And then he said amazing words. He said, أَنَا مِثْلُ الْغَنَمَ. I am just like a sheep. أينما تقلبت تقلبت على صوف. Wherever I fall, I will fall on cotton. Wherever I fall, I fall on cotton. You push me face first, or you push me to my back, or you push me to my sides. I will fall on the cotton, just like a sheep. It will always roll on cotton. I'm comfortable. Should you kill me, exile me, I'm a comfortable man because I have certainty and I am at peace with my Lord. Do you see, my brothers, my sisters, when we say the people of yaqeen, the first thing they enjoy is a light that dawns upon the heart and it dispels with it all of those shadows and darknesses and hesitations and turbulence and allows it to settle. This is happiness, to be certain, yaqeen. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he would say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَ الرَّوْحَ وَالْفَرَجَ فِي الْيَقِينِ وَالْرِضَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed happiness and relief in yaqeen, certainty, and contentment in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one, light that dawns upon the heart. Number two, the people of Yaqeen, they are taken as guides. Do you worry that maybe your life is coming to an end without you maybe putting forward the type of deeds that you wished and you envisioned you would put for yourself? Do you wish that people will take you as an inspiration such that what they do after your death continues to be a continuation of your legacy and accredited to your scales? Don't you wish to be taken as a guide in the matters of khair, to be an imam in the religion even though you maybe not be leading salah? This is the meaning of imama, to be taken as a guide, to lead people in khair. Two ingredients that are required. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in Surah Sajda, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. We made from them imams, guiding by our command, when they were patient and when they had yaqeen in our signs. So what was the formula? Two-part recipe. Patience and what? Yaqeen. What does it create? Imama in the deen. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الصَّبْرُ بِالْيَقِينِ وُلِدَ بَيْنَهُمَا الْإِمَامَةُ فِي الدِّينِ. When patience marries yaqeen, certainty, they conceive a child called imama, leadership in the religion. Allahu Akbar. By the way, it's perfectly logical why these two ingredients are needed for your leadership, bi-idhnillah in khair. And why you will be taken as a guide in your family, in your household, and at work, and across the other side of the road. Why those two? Because you see, what are the greatest temptations and tests that man may experience in his life? There are two. What are they? Shubuhat, doubts in the religion, and shahawat, carnal desires, haram appetites. What does patience do? It closes which of those doors? Patience closes the shahawat, the desires. And then yaqeen, what door does that close? Shubuhat, your certainty close, the doubts. And a person who has those two doors closed in his life deserves to be taken as an imam in the religion. So what is awarded to the people of yaqeen? We said light that dawns upon their heart. May Allah give us this light and allow us to experience that happiness. Number two, you are taken as a guide in the religion when you are certain of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and His religion. Number three, yaqeen unlocks enormous stores of motivation and power. Maybe you've noticed, man may come and give us a full-fledged course about da'wah and inviting people to Islam and activism. Yet where is the brother? Or where are the brothers when it comes to Salatul Isha or Salatul Fajr? Where are they when it comes to Quran and the halaqat like this? Where are they? The knowledge was there, but the application was not there. How come? The vehicle was missing. The vehicle that takes a person from knowledge to application, that vehicle is called yaqeen. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he said in his book, Miftahu Dar al-Sa'ada, he said, Al-ilmu yasta'miluka wal-yaqeenu yahmiluk. He said, knowledge employs you, but yaqeen is what carries you. Knowledge employs you. Yaqeen is what carries you. How is it that you may find two individuals, both of whom have memorized the exact same narration, say on sadaqah, the virtues of giving in charity? He's memorized 10 and he's memorized 10. But when it comes to application, they're so different. Individual A barely gives any sadaqah. Maybe it's just 1 year to another to give his zakat, if that. Then you have individual B who has a direct debit going out of his month every single month without fail. How come? Yaqeen. They've both been employed by knowledge, but what carried them to application or prevented the other, it was the certainty. How certain are you? Or is there doubt? You've memorized the narrations, you're not too sure. Whereas the other one, when he puts his hand in his pocket and he takes out the fiver or the tenner and he puts it in the hand of the faqir or the miskin or the one who needs the money, he feels as if he is almost literally putting the money in the rich and divine hand of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. That's yaqeen, certainty. How is it that two people may memorize the exact same narrations, say, about riba, the impermissibility of riba, usury, interest? They've both memorized the ayah where Allah says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If you don't detest, if you don't stop taking riba, then take notice of war from Allah and His Messenger. They both memorized it. They both recite it well. However, individual A unashamedly continues to use riba. And individual B abstains from it vehemently, fearfully, even if it costs him his life and his business. Because he can almost see himself, we said the eye of the heart, he can almost see himself being given the instruments of war, a sword and a shield on a day of judgment, and is told, go and fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We told you that the one who takes riba will be at war with his Lord. He sees it through his yaqeen. Both were employed by knowledge, sah? But what was it that carried one to action and kept the other one at home? It was yaqeen, certainty. If I was to say to you, there is a fire outside, or there is a fire at the back of the building, in the kitchen, and some of us go and some of us stay, that can only be explained by one thing. Whether you believe what I said or you don't. You were employed by the knowledge I gave you. There is a fire. Some of you ran because you know, you believe there is a fire. You started to see the smoke. Other people stayed, sat down. That can only be interpreted that you doubt what I said. Is there any other way to explain it? So when Allah says, this will bring you Jahannam, this type of dress will bring you the fire, this type of business, commerce will cause you hell, suffering in the grave, but you stay sat down, you don't move. Do you doubt the information? No. Or it could be that you do. There is a lacking in the yaqeen, and therefore the vehicle has not moved. So what are we saying here? We're saying that yaqeen unlocks a huge amount of inspiration and power to get up and pray and to fast and to give in sadaqah and to improve your dress and your appearance online. Yaqeen invigorates your limbs to do that. It unlocks huge stores of motivation when you're certain that the outcome will be as you were promised. And that's why Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, مَا أَيْقَنَ أَحَدٌ بِالْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ حَقَّ يَقِينِهِمَا إِلَّا خَشَعَ وَوَجِلْ وَذَلَّ وَاسْتَقَامْ وَقَتَّصَرَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَهُ الْمَوْتِ. Anyone who possesses the true yaqeen, that is deserving of it, with respect to paradise and hell, what will happen? He will submit. And he will be afraid. And he will be humbled. And he will walk straight as a Muslim, and he will limit himself doing good deeds until death meets him. That happens when what? When you have true yaqeen, certainty in paradise and hell. It pushes you towards them, Jannah, and it causes you to run away from hell. That's what certainty should do. This is number what, dear brothers? Number three. Number four, the people of yaqeen are awarded bravery, courage. By the way, I don't speak to you here as an authority on the topic of yaqeen or any other of the features of the heart that we're addressing. I am a student with you studying these topics, hoping to grow with you. Wallah, consider me just a conveyor, some sort of sound machine, and we intend to grow together. I don't claim to have reached these heights, not even 1%. The people of yaqeen are awarded immense amounts of courage. Fear seems to be sapped from their hearts when they're certain of Allah. Al-Junayd al-Baghdadi, he said, قَدْ مَشَى رِجَالٌ عَلَى الْمَاءِ بِالْيَقِينِ. He said, men have walked on the face, on the surface of the water through yaqeen. And that happened during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is a documented historical fact. That during the Ridda wars, the wars of apostasy, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas pursued them. And they made their way to Bahrain, and they didn't have with them their ships. And Sa'd, he made a dua, and with him were the Muslims. And Abu Huraira was part of that war. And he documented the fact that they and their horses walked on the face of the sea, and they got to their enemies and came back victorious. قَدْ مَشَى رِجَالٌ عَلَى الْمَاءِ بِالْيَقِينِ. Courage And Khalid ibn al-Walid, and this is another documented fact, he consumed poison. When he went to Iraq, they said to him, be careful, Khalid, we fear that your enemies may try to poison you with the poison of Hira. He said, what type of poison? They said, this is one of them. He said, bring it here, Bismillah. Consumed it. And it did not harm him. And Imam al-Dhahabi comments on this by saying, هَذِهِ وَاللَّهِ هِيَ الْكَرَامَ وَهَذِهِ الشَّجَاعَ. This is what it means to be honored by Allah, and this is the meaning of courage. Huh? What? No, don't try that at home. It's tempting, but don't try it at home. That is a man of yaqeen. I'm going to drink this and it's not going to harm me. Like, I'm certain. So Allah did not let him down. Courage, fearlessness and bravery. And subhanAllah, I love the example of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. May Allah pardon us. Maybe we mention his name a little bit too much at times. We ask Allah to protect us from ghulu and exaggerations. We don't intend that. I read in his biography that he met the king of the Mongols at the time. His name was Qazan. And that's not an easy one. And you know the foreign policy of the Mongols. It was not about, you know, the voting and these type of things. Their currency, the lahja, language that they recognized was just brute force, brutality. And he's now speaking to Qazan, the head of them. And Qazan invites Ibn Taymiyyah and his friends to his palace for a meal. And they all eat, with the exception of the imam. They said to him, why aren't you eating? He said, why would I eat from your food? When all of this is food that you've stolen from the Muslims, and you cooked and you heated the food using the trees that you cut down from the lands of the Muslims, I can't touch your food. What did Qazan say? He said, imam, will you make a prayer for me? Hajim, will you make a prayer? He said, yeah, of course I'll make a prayer for you. So he, bismillah, he raised his hands, and he said, Allahumma in kana abduka hadha innama yuqatilu litakuna kalimatuka hiya al-ulya fa'ayyidhu wansurhu. Oh Allah, if this slave of yours, Qazan, is fighting such that your word reigns supreme, then help him and aid him and support him. But oh Allah, if he is fighting such that his word will reign supreme, and for the pursuit of worldly measures, and to humiliate the Muslims, and to dominate over the world, then Allah disgrace him, and embarrass him, and put an end to him once and for all. And interestingly, Qazan was going, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And the companions of Shaykh al-Islam were saying at that moment, we were just covering ourselves with our clothes such that when his head comes flying off, the blood doesn't splatter on us. And that didn't happen. So they left the palace of Qazan and they said to him, "You, what was that about? Like, you almost got us all killed with that. We are not going to accompany you anymore." He said, yeah, and I don't want to accompany you anymore. Off you go. So they separated from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and they took their own path. And there was a few loyalists that remained around the imam. The narrator of this incident, his name is Abu al-Habbas ibn Sasra, he said, as for Imam ibn Taymiyyah, many people began to hear that he was traveling, the knights and the princes, the princes and the dignitaries. So they began to come from every direction to be close to the imam and to see him and to ask Allah for barakah in the hope of being near him. And by the end of it, there was around 300 knights surrounding Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He said, as for us who broke away from him, we were looted by highway robbers and they left us naked without clothes. Ilaha illallah. So courage. One who is given yaqeen, true certainty, they are confident. They are brave and they are willing to take risks. Because they know who controls the heavens and the earth, and they are certain of it. May Allah allow us to taste this. Subhanallah al-Azim. That's number four. Number five, the people of Yaqeen are awarded with immense resilience upon the causes of truth. What do we mean by that? The people of Yaqeen, certainty in Allah, they are the most immovable of His creation when it comes to haqq, truth. No shahwa, carnal desire or appetite or shubha, doubt here and there is going to knock them off the path of Islam. They are stationed upon their religion. regardless of the circumstances that they may confront in life, a difficult husband, wife, a child who goes off the rails, difficult financial circumstances, whatever it may be, they are planted in their place. That's what yaqeen gives a person. And that's why when Heraclius, the emperor of Rome, when he was interviewing Abu Sufyan, who was still a pagan at the time, asking him about this man who claims to be a prophet in Arabia, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from a Christian perspective, he wanted to know, is this man truly an apostle from God? So one of the questions he asked him was, do any of them leave their religion when they embrace it? And Abu Sufyan, who was still a pagan, said, no. None have left Islam since they embraced it with him. He said, وَكَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانُ حِينَ تُخَالِطُ بَشَاشَتُهُ الْقُلُوبُ. That is the sign of true faith when its delight mixes with the heart. That is the sign of true faith when its what? Its delight mixes with the heart. You never leave it. So they're not in and out of the religion, oscillating between iman and nifaq. They experience a turbulent moment at work or some sort of Islamophobic slur or abuse online or offline. And then, Shaykh, wallah, I don't even know if this religion is true anymore. Ya akhi, you haven't even been tested yet. Abu Maysara, who was the jurist of Morocco, subhanAllah, I never forget this incident. He was a man who was a devout worshipper of Allah. And he would complete the recitation of the Qur'an once every single night in his room. And one of those evenings, it seemed as if he was now on course for a grand honoring from Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. And so as he was reciting and praying, he saw a light emanating from the wall. Allahu Akbar. A light emanating from the wall. And then he heard a sound saying, Ya Aba Maysara tamalla min wajhi fa ana rabbuk. Abu Maysara, enjoy my face, I am your Lord. What did he do? He goes, get out of my face, you cursed one. He spat right inside of the light. How come? How come? How come, Shabab, if a light comes in your room now, you're going to think it's Allah? Why did he spit in the light? Because it was? Shaitan, say it. It was? Shaitan. This is Shaitan. Wallahi, Shaykh, ishi mukhif. Allah. Yeah, it's quite worrying, Shabab. Yeah, so this is Shaitan trying to throw him off the course of Iman and to tempt him to leave the religion, to confuse him. But who will realize this? The people of? The people of Yaqeen. So what does Yaqeen do? It gives you resilience. Yani they are stubbornly upon the haq, upon the truth. Abdullah ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi, when he was about to be thrown into the boiling oil and he saw his friends being thrown in and returning as skeletons with no flesh in Persia. And he began to weep before his time was up. And they said, you're next to be thrown in. They said, why are you crying? Are you now willing to become a Christian? He said, no, I'm just crying because I wish that I had 10 souls that can die in this way for the sake of Allah. I'm sad that it's just the one that will have to be thrown in the oil for him. Who can do that? But a person of yaqeen, certainty, we ask Allah to allow us to taste yaqeen. Speeding up. Another one of the gifts awarded to the people of Yaqeen is that the size of calamities are lessened in their eyes. The size of a musibah, a calamity, a travesty is diminished in their eyes. And I give you a very simple analogy and you will understand. Imagine a person who was impoverished, debt-ridden, pressured by a massive family that he is responsible for, and he is stressed right down to his core. And then on one evening, he receives a very welcome phone call saying that your distant great-grandfather has just passed away and there is no one to inherit him but you. It's a sum of around $10 million. But because of the size of the amount of the money, it's going to take us about a year to free up the assets and send it over to you. Now tell me about the type of motivation and happiness and encouragement that he will experience during this year. During that year, is he still not debt ridden? He is. Is he still not responsible for a big family? He is. Is he still not impoverished? He is. But what's changed? What's made him so happy? the hope that it's going to end with something positive. There is money at the end of the tunnel. That is exactly the analogy of a Muslim with yaqeen. No matter what calamity comes your way, in your health, in your children, in your reputation, whatever it may be, you stay inspirited and motivated, right? And the calamity diminishes in your eyes. How come? Because you have certainty that at the end of the tunnel, there is light. There is An-Nur, the light, that is Allah. There is Jannah. It's going to end with happiness and forgiveness of sins. It won't continue forever. And that's why we are taught to say in our dua, وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا. And oh Allah, give us yaqeen that will lessen in our eyes the calamities of life. Give us yaqeen that will lessen in our eyes the calamities of life. That's what certainty does. The last of the ones I wanted to share with you before I help us find a way to attain yaqeen is the eviction of despair. There is no room for despair, yes, in the heart of the one who is certain. And I just want you to imagine now the emblem or the silhouette of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're standing at the gates of Mecca, trying to find a way back into his city that he was exiled from. He left Mecca secretly, making his way to Ta'if when Mecca had rejected him in the cruelest of way, only to go to At-Ta'if to invite them to Islam, and they would also reject him in the cruelest of ways. And now he's coming back to Mecca because he has nowhere else to go. And Zayd ibn Haritha, he says to him, O Messenger of Allah, how are you intending on entering back into Mecca whilst they had exiled you from it? What did he say? These are the words of yaqeen. He said, Ya Zayd, inna Allah ja'ilun lima tara farajan wa makhraja wa inna Allah nasirun deenahu wa mudhirun nabiyahu. O Zayd, Allah is going to provide relief from what you are seeing. And Allah is going to support His Prophet and He will cause His religion to prevail. When did he say this? As he stands outside of the gates of Mecca with his ankles bleeding because of the wounds he sustained at At-Ta'if. At a time when he had lost his wife Khadija, his internal lines of defense, and he'd lost Abu Talib, his external lines of defense, and his city or his tribe of Hashim had experienced a grueling embargo for 3 years that killed some of them. And he went to At-Ta'if to invite them to Islam, and they greeted him in the worst way that a human could greet another, let alone a prophet from God. And now he is standing at the gates of Mecca, not knowing how to go back inside, but where is he supposed to go? And in that context, he said, Oh Zayd, Allah is going to provide relief. So the next time you see a heartbreaking scene coming to us from China, the Uyghur Muslims, or Asham who are suffering now in the cold, or Yemen who are suffering with hunger, or the future travesties that may be heading our way, you remember those words. And you remember that the one who is certain in Allah, there is no room for despair in his or her heart. I will leave you, brothers and sisters, in the last maybe 10 minutes that we have together by suggesting a plan of action. For those of you who like the idea of yaqeen, what is it in it for us? We've understood this. How can we attain it? I'm going to share with you perhaps 5 very quick points, the first of them. Take note of this, brothers and sisters. And this really is when we prove to ourselves that we are here in the masjid with the intention of amal, action, not just pure entertainment or something to do on the 7 o'clock Wednesday evening. What to do for those who want to attain yaqeen? Starting with myself, I share with you the first, create a plan for knowledge. Escape, brothers and sisters, from the dungeons of ignorance and make your way to the light and expanse of knowledge. And there is no excuse. Allah has removed any excuse from us in the 21st century, in the era of the internet. Create a plan of study. If you're not sure, ask somebody you trust to put you on a particular path, even if it is 3 years or 5 years. Start something, even if it is not perfect or ideal. Start something and finish it. Don't dip in and out. Don't change your mind a month in. No. Even if it is not ideal, finish it. And watch how you will begin to see that seedling of yaqeen becoming a tree where its roots are deep inside of you, the soils of your heart. Yaqeen comes from knowledge. Remember what we said, that yaqeen is the highest part of knowledge. So it makes sense that we start with what? With knowledge. Here, I want to suggest, by the way, this is a small footnote, a mission for some of you, especially those Arabic-speaking brothers amongst you, to research the Sina'atul Muhawir program, the creator of the debater program. It's a 3-year program. Finish it, understand it, and then give yourself maybe another 2 or 3 years after that to reproduce it in the English language for our English-speaking audience here in the West. This will be a great hasana that you can present Allah with on the Day of Judgment, and it is one of the most formidable ways of strengthening a person's yaqeen. That program is phenomenal. I haven't seen anything like it. Sina'atul Muhawir, created as a project for those of you who speak Arabic. A plan for knowledge is the first pathway to yaqeen. Number two, don't give an attentive ear to shubuhat, doubts. You know the forums I'm talking about. You know the internet websites I'm referring to. You know the people I'm speaking about. You know the books I am referring to. Stay away from them. Don't listen to them by trusting yourself, saying, I can deal with this. Run away from it. Protect your yaqeen, your certainty. Don't read it. And do what the predecessors did, like Ibn Tawus, when he saw Salih coming into the gathering and speaking about Qadr in a skeptical way. Theology, Qadr, in a skeptical way. He put his fingers in his ears. And he said to his son, put your fingers in your ears. Washdud, wa la tastami' li qawlihi fa inna al-quluba da'ifa. Don't listen to what he is saying. Plug your fingers in your ears, because hearts are weak. Hearts are weak. And you know what our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us to do when the Dajjal, the Antichrist, emerges. Man sami'a bid-dajjali fal yan'a anhu. Whoever of you hears that the Antichrist has emerged, run away from him. Distance yourself from him. Because man will come to him thinking that he is a believer and will end up following him as God because of the shubuhat, the doubts that he will come with. So don't give doubts an attentive ear, and don't think too highly of your iman. Run away from them the same way you run away from toxic food. Number three, contemplation. Think and think and think until it really hurts. And thinking is not by using this. Turn it off. Switch off the TV. Look outside when everyone is asleep and just think. And trust that Allah will take you through your thoughts to a place of yaqeen. Did you know that the heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon, the rivers, the stars, the trees, the mountains, they have all been put in place in order for you to look at them, to think about them, and then arrive at yaqeen. Allah said, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ. In the land, there are signs for people of yaqeen. And Allah said about Ibrahim, وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. We showed Ibrahim the wonders of the heavens and the earth so that he may be of those people of yaqeen, certainty. Have you used this open door masjid that is called our universe? You will find yaqeen there. Think about it. Listen to what Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said in Surah Ar-Ra'd, the chapter which our Shaykh read in the first rak'ah of Isha. Allahu alladhi rafa'a as-samawati bighayri 'amadin tarawnaha. Allah is the one who raised the heavens without pillars that you see. Allahu alladhi rafa'a as-samawati bighayri 'amadin tarawnaha thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh. Then he rose above the throne. Wa sakhkhara ash-shamsa wal-qamar, and he subjected the sun and the moon. كُلٌّ يَجْرِي لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, each orbiting according to an appointed term. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ, he conducts the affair. يُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ, he details the signs. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّكُمْ تُوقِنُونَ, so that you may attain certainty in the meeting of your Lord. All of this therefore is for your contemplation. Don't miss it by gaping into your phone. Look. قُلْ انظُرُوا مَاذَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, Allah said. Look at what is in the heavens and the earth. Think about it. Deep and honest contemplation will take a person to the doorstep of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Look at someone like Dean Hamer, who authors a book called The God Gene, saying that it is so natural. We are so dispositioned to believe in God that it is actually hardwired within our very gene to believe in God Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone like Ben Collins, a physicist and scientist, or a physicist and philosopher, he said that if the initial explosion of the Big Bang differed in strength, even in the smallest part of 10 to the power of 60, the universe would have either collapsed onto itself, or either it would have expanded too rapidly, and which would be too fast to form stars. And he said in both ways it would be impossible to sustain human life. And they say that the chance of this happening is like someone shooting a bullet at a 1-inch target from the distance of 20 billion light years away and hitting the mark. So contemplation, just mere thought, even without wahi revelation, takes you to a good place. And it takes you to the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, companionship. Sit with the people of yaqeen. Sit with the people of iman. And see how your iman and your yaqeen and certainty in Allah will grow. And I tell you about myself, some of the difficult times I experienced. By Allah, all it was a quick phone call to people who I hope are near their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And much of those things were dispelled from my heart. Sit with them, find them. This is a good gathering for us to be together in. وَكُنَّ إِذَا اشْتَدَّ بِنَا الْخَوْفُ وَسَاءَتْ مِنَّا الظُّنُونُ وَضَاقَتْ بِنَا الْأَرْضُ أَتَيْنَاهُ فَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا أَنْ نَرَاهُ وَنَسْمَعُ كَلَامَهُ فَيَذْهَبُ ذَلِكَ كُلُّهُ وَيَنْقَلِبُ شِرَاحًا وَقُوَّةً وَيَقِينًا. Ibn al-Qayyim, he said that sometimes we would feel so afraid and we would begin to doubt, and we would feel as if the world had become so tight upon us. But then we would go to our teacher, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and merely looking at his face and hearing his words, and we find that those doubts are dispelled from our hearts, and it changes into strength and yaqeen and peace and tranquility with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Lastly, dear brothers and sisters, and I will leave you with this dua. Include it when you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the things you need. Ask Him to give you yaqeen. In a profound hadith, and this will be the last for this evening, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَلُوا اللَّهَ الْمُعَافَىٰ فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يُؤْتَ عَبْدٌ قَطُّ بَعْدَ الْيَقِينِ أَفْضَلَ مِنَ الْمُعَافَىٰ. He said, ask Allah to give you well-being. عَافِيَة. Ask Allah to give you well-being in your dua. Because the greatest thing that a person can be given after yaqeen is well-being. He said, after yaqeen, la ilaha illallah. Brothers and sisters, my last remark I wanted to share with you really is, keep yourself busy, keep yourself active as a Muslim. And just by doing that, you will find that your yaqeen, you can keep it at bay and you can grow it, your certainty in Allah. Merely keeping yourself void of activity, bored, waiting for the next Netflix binge marathon, you will find yourself necessarily starting to doubt. Not because the doubts are strong, but because your heart is empty. So Shaitan, he says, don't worry, I have a few ideas for you. And there was a sister, which one of our contemporaries, he said, kept coming to him with doubts. And I would answer one question and she would come with three more. And I would answer that those three questions, she would come with 10 more. It was just an endless cycle of doubts. Then I found a problem that she was suffering with. She had too much free time on her hands. So I said to her, sister, I'm not going to answer these questions today. I have a task for you. I'm going to give you three cassettes. They were cassettes at the time. And I want you just to transcribe them, please. Write them out. Let's transcribe them. And she did that. And he said, instantly, all of the doubts disappeared from her heart. She never came back with another question. So the problem was not the doubt. The problem was what? Boredom. Busy yourself with a program of activity. If you don't know where to start, ask a brother who is active, or a sister, my dear sister, who is active, and say, can I be part of this? And watch, just by virtue of you exercising your limbs, working in the causes of khair, Allah will allow your iman and your yaqeen to grow just by virtue of being an active Muslim. We will stop here, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I think that's the 1 hour mark. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us to this level of yaqeen. Qaribu wa saddidu, dear brothers. Bring yourself as close as you can to perfection and realize that none of us will attain it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and our families and our students and our children with yaqeen and iman. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.